Let's move on. We have been doing a series. We started a few weeks ago. Pastor Joe started on Philippians. And it's been actually really good to go through that, especially last week, you know, just that these scriptures were already planned. We knew what we were going to talk about. And, you know, before any craziness happened. And it's been good just to have these and just to have a perspective on them that I probably wouldn't have had before, and to see God move, you know, and work in ways that just you read the scriptures again, you know, you read Philippians and then you read it again after, you know, you go through some crazy stuff and you're just like, wow, okay. It just brings a whole new level of reality to it. And Pastor Joe started out by basically telling us, you know, the Philippians is a book that was written. Paul wrote it to the Philippians. It's a letter he wrote to them, and he was trying to help them understand what really matters, in life. And then the rest of the book or letter was him just saying, this is how we do that. This is how we know what really matters. This is how we live in that way that really matters, so that we can live lives that are pure and blameless. And then last week we talked about Philippians 1:21, where it says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And just how what really matters starts with Christ, starts with Jesus, and that's where everything that we do, everything that we are, everything that we draw from, should start with Christ. And it's got a whole new meaning for me. And it's absolutely amazing to see God's faithfulness in the middle of a crazy world. And we continue to follow him. We continue to try to seek him. And as we do that, that's kind of what helps change us. That helps shift our focus to what really does matter in life. When we give our lives to Christ fully, it helps, you know, it just helps everything that we do. Every aspect of our life, he wants to come in and change and bring life to it. And it's absolutely amazing, the process and the journey that we go on when we surrender to Christ, and we understand that to live is him, is all about Christ, and to die is gain. When we pass on, we get to be with Jesus. And one of the great example of that recently was on Friday. Many of you know, some of you were there. Thank you for those of you who are at the funeral. But brother-in-law passed away, and the funeral was Friday, and so I had the honor of doing the service. And it's just a life well lived. It's so amazing to see that when people grab a hold of Christ. You know, Jim, his name is Jim Boycel, married to Nancy's sister Sue, and he has 12 kids, and I think 8 of them are married. And you know, tons of grandkids, and to see them, you know, stand up, Nick's oldest son stand up and speak about his dad, and talking about a life well lived, and just the conversations that people were having after and during, and just seeing that a life that is being honored because that man honored Christ. You know, another person, he was totally like, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I just constantly overwhelmed, you know, by a life surrendered to Christ and how beautiful it is. It's not easy at all. It's not easy at all. But it's awesome. It's amazing. It is beyond compare when we surrender our lives to Christ. And to see examples of that, you know, through what we went through and God's faithfulness in that, and the Boycel family, and seeing the godly heritage that he left for his kids. He left way early. He was just over 60. And he had a lot he wanted to do yet. But what he had done was setting the foundation for his kids that's pretty amazing. So life with Christ, that's what really matters. So let's look at this scripture. I'd like to read it for you, Philippians 2:1-4. It says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, again, it starts with Jesus. If any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not to his only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So, when we look at the scripture, once again, I'm just all about Jesus lately. Sorry, if you don't like that, well, go find somewhere else. Not apologetic about that. But this starts out by saying, "For if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ." So that word "if" in the scripture could also be represented by the word "since." So since, when Paul's talking to these people, he's not saying that if, you know, maybe by some chance. He's talking to a church that he knows. He's talking to a church, a group of people that he loves, and he's saying since, because he knows they've had these experiences with Christ. He knows that they've experienced his thing, a relationship with him. And so he says, if, since you feel encouragement from being united with Christ, and that's once again where it all starts. When we connect with God, when we connect with Jesus, we can feel encouragement, we can feel comfort, we can feel life, we can feel whole, and that's what really matters. Whoa, I think I just deleted all my, nope, there it is. Thank goodness for undo. When I first read this, when I was rereading it a bunch of times, one of the things that I really liked was the words that Paul was using to communicate with these guys, with the Philippians. So he's like, do you have any encouragement from Christ? Comfort from his love, fellowship with the Spirit, any tenderness or compassion? So Paul was like kind of setting up to say, I'm going to tell you some things about unity and some things that you should do. And they're kind of hard things to hear, but I don't want it to be harsh things to hear. And he's kind of saying that there's a relationship we have. There's a relationship that we should have. There's a relationship that we should have with Christ that's based on encouragement, comfort, love, fellowship, tenderness, and compassion. These are the words are all about deep connection. It's not just a religious thing. I mean, you guys have heard us say that so many times here. We don't like just to do a religion. We don't want to have a bunch of, you know, stuff. This is what we do. We want to be a group of people that first we be, that we know how to be. We know how to be with Christ. We know how to be with each other. We know how to love each other well. And then out of that, we'll do stuff. You know, the stuff we're doing for McKinley is awesome. But we want to do that because we've been with Christ. So that when we're doing those things, when we're out there on a VBS, when we're out, whatever it is we're doing, that we're doing it with God's love and grace. And it's not just us doing stuff so that we feel better about ourselves, but it's about us doing stuff because we love Jesus Christ. And that's these words, encouragement, comfort, fellowship, tenderness, compassion. They just speak to that. They speak to intimacy. They speak to us really caring for one another. You know, it's way more than just being a group of people who gather once in a while, but it's about us connecting with each other in real ways. And that all starts from being united with Christ. We first have to be united with Christ, and then we can be connected and united with each other. And then we can truly share love and compassion with each other. And believe me, you guys are really good at that. Felt amazing love and compassion. We need to engage through Jesus, or engage with Jesus continually. And as we engage with Jesus, then we can engage with each other. And then we can engage with culture. Then we can engage with the world. And I really feel like that's kind of how we want to connect here. He goes on to say, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete. Now, this is the hard part. Now, these are things that he's telling them, I want you to do this. Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. That's tough. We got a lot of different opinions in this room. a lot, you know. And he's telling us to be like-minded, to have the same love, to be one in spirit and one in purpose. That's really tough. And that's why it takes us being united with Christ first to be able to actually do that. Now, when I say that, I know one of the things that can come to mind is like, so does that mean like we all have this, like, okay, if you go to Valley Fellowship or Valley Life Church, we got this list of 10 things, and you have to do all of these things, and you have to, you know, think exactly like this, and, you know, basically the cookie cutter Christian thing? No. That's kind of lame. We don't want that. We don't want that here. We don't want to think for each other necessarily. We don't want to have to, like, you know, have everyone sign this document that says, you know, this is exactly what you believe and how you believe it. But we do want to be of one spirit and of one mind and of one purpose on the core things about who we are. There are some things that are not negotiable, like Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes through the Father except through him. So there are some things that we are definitely, you know, we have to say, this is what we believe, and we need to be like-minded on those things. We need to believe those. We need to trust those. We need to trust the inerrancy of the Word of God. But, you know, we have people in this room who speak in tongues all the time. We have people in this room who think if you speak in tongues that you're possessed. I mean, it's true. And that's fine. There's some other things that we, you know, we can have some different opinions. We can have some different thoughts. We can have some different, you know, maybe some of you want to dance in church. And some of you are like, that's just weird. Why is Pastor John doing that on stage? I don't know. We won't even get into politics because, but you know what? That's okay. Because if we know that we're united in Christ, that if each one of us is connecting with Jesus, then we can have some different views. That's okay. But we need to be one, we need to be like-minded, having the same love, meaning that that love is Jesus Christ, that the source of how we love each other is from Jesus, not from ourselves. One in spirit, we understand that there is a Holy Spirit, there is one Spirit, the Spirit of God, and that we're allowing him to teach us. We're allowing him to change us, and in one purpose. And I really believe that that one purpose for us starts with us in whatever we do and however we process it, but we are honoring and worshiping Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. And out of that, we're able to go and love one another well. Love God, love people. That's our purpose. We want to be blessed. That's kind of what it means up there. Blessed to live. That's not just like, hey, you know, bring on the blessings, God. Just pour them out. No, we want to have a relationship with Jesus. To be blessed to live means that we're connecting with Jesus and we're living out what he has asked us to do. We're allowing him to change us. And then we get to live to bless. Then we get to go out and bless other people because we have something that we can truly offer them. You know, we're just not offering them gimmicks and smokes and mirrors and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. We're offering them the love and the power of Jesus Christ, because it's changing us, and we want people to know about it so that it can change them too. Not so that we can get butts in the seats or a bigger offering or, you know, have a bunch of kids at McKinley think we're really awesome. That's not why we do it. So being united with Christ allows us to be united with one another. And then even another level where it gets even, I think, a little harder, is taking care of one another. So then we're not just hanging out. We're not just kind of, hey, nice to see you. See you next week. Don't care about your life, really, but I'll pretend I like you. You know, the Bible never says that you have to like anybody. It says you have to love them, but it doesn't say you have to like them. I'm going with that right now, because there's some... I like everybody. I like my wife. Man. Hey, offspring in law. I call all my children offspring. Some people are like, that's just weird. They're not offspring. They're your children. No, they're not my offspring. I got that from Finding Nemo. You guys remember that? Crush the Turtle? Wasn't it Crush? I think it was Crush, yeah. Yeah, what did he say? I can't remember what he called him. Never mind. He was introducing all this. He had like 8,000 turtles. He's like, offspring? Yeah, yeah. Okay. Remember last week I said I don't have a filter? I don't even know what I'm saying up here. I don't even know. I'm going to make my notes bigger because I can't read them. What time is it? Okay, let's finish this. Taking care of one another. This is the hard part. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. That is 100% opposed to anything that our culture talks about. Especially the humility part. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Now, what's interesting in that statement, he just says, it doesn't say that you can't look out to your interests at all. He said, not only, you know, not only your interests, but also the interests of others. So he's telling us, let's take care, you know, take care of yourself. But that's kind of the being united with Christ part. Then you have something to give. But, you know, we need to make sure that we don't like consume everything that we have, all our time and energy on ourselves. We need to put other people first. We need to think about other people. And yet at the same time have some wisdom and some boundaries in our lives to understand that we need to be poured into once in a while also. So how do we do that? I'm going to kind of modified list from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He wrote a book called Life Together. And in there he wrote these seven things. He called them ministries, but there's kind of seven things. And I'm kind of taking those ish. I don't have seven, but there are seven things that can eradicate selfish ambition. So this whole, you know, do nothing out of selfish ambition. I mean, wow. Or vain conceit. Wow. You know, in a selfie culture, that's really hard to do. So how do we do that? Well, the first one is cultivate humility. Once again, that's really challenging. And one of the definitions that I really like for humility is by C.S. Lewis. Many of you have probably heard it before. But he said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. So humility is not thinking less of yourself. So humility is not like, I'm a dirtbag, I'm a loser. I got nothing to offer anyone. Oh, that's just dumb. It's not true. That's not humility. Humility is not just like constantly putting yourself down. It's not, you know, thinking that you're absolutely worthless, you know, and running through all of the things in life of what you screwed up. And I know we do that at times, but you know, that's not being humble. It's just thinking about yourself less. Like you're not even thinking about that. You're just thinking about other people. You're thinking about Jesus. You're dwelling on him. You're thinking about other people and what they need and how you can help them and pour into them. So it's not beating yourself up. Just thinking about yourself less. And in that, there are times where you can be really confident because you start understanding what Christ wants to do in you, and you start understanding his love for you, and you start understanding how he has gifted you and how he wants to use you and those kinds of things. You start understanding that a little more, and so you can be really confident and yet really humble, because then you're taking all that stuff that God's putting in you and the power of the Holy Spirit that's going through you, and you're wanting to point that and use that to bless other people, to strengthen them, to build them up. God pours into you, and then you pour that out into someone else. So, you know, don't value your needs, time, and abilities above others. That's part of that being humble. Don't think you're all that. God loves you, and in God's eyes, you are all that to him. You are valuable. But it's when we start looking at other people and going, I'm all that, and they're not so much. That's not humble. Humble means you're willing to serve anonymously. When you serve, when we're bearing one another's burdens, when we're doing things for other people, you're just, whether you get, you know, someone tells you, hey, good job or not, you don't care. Because you're doing it because you love Jesus. And you love people because you love Jesus. And Jesus loves people. So that means you love people because Jesus loves people, and then you love people more, and then you love Jesus more because you see how much he loves those people, and then you start loving them more and more and more and more, and then you start loving Jesus more because you see how awesome he is, and then he loves people more, and then you love Jesus more because he loves people more, and then, I mean, like, it just doesn't stop. Those things are connected. They are. Love God, love people. They grow together. They do. They really do. And so we serve because, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with recognizing that, you know, recognizing people who serve and stuff. We should honor people for what they do, but we shouldn't want to seek that recognition. We should just do what God's asked us to do and move on because we love him. That's part of being humble. Part of thinking of yourself less. Another one is hold your tongue. Be careful how you speak about other people. This is really hard. It's really hard not to go on Facebook and yahoo, Instagram, whatever. You know, do a quick Snapchat to your people talking about somebody, I don't know. And don't spiritualize your words by saying, well, I think so-and-so needs a lot of prayer. And I'm going to tell you this just so you can pray. But he said, and she said, and they said, and then this happened, and it's like, wow, and so you really need to pray because then this happened, and they happened, and she said, and this said, and, you know. Just hold your tongue. It's just like that when I'm gossiping. I do, that's exactly what I do. Well, let me tell you. I don't know, that's kind of a weird thing. But be careful how you speak of others. Are people's names safe in your mouth when they're not around? Because when we're all about ourselves, that selfish ambition thing, one of the easiest ways to make yourself feel better or appear better is to just lower everyone else around you. Beat them down, lower them, push them down. And that's not good. Don't do that. Here's another one that's really tough. And I think I say this every time I preach. Listen long and patiently. We got to figure out how to listen to each other. Because nobody is listening to anybody. Everyone's talking past each other. And they're not listening to the full story that we have. And we just talk about each other and past each other. And no one spends some time listening and talking to each other. Be someone. You know, I really believe this. I think that listening, people who listen well, and who have this skill of being able to listen and connect with people, they're going to shine like the noonday sun. Because it is becoming a more and more rare thing. No one listens. Just shut up and listen. Spend some time listening to people. Even if you disagree with them, that's the time you really need to listen. And that's hard. Because you want to correct them, you want to fix them. But you can't engage in dialogue and conversation. You can't really love people unless you're listening to them. And that skill, I think is just going to be amazing. You know, I was reading a book a while back. They were talking about communication skills and people who spend a lot of time texting and on social media. A lot of their social interaction is there. So they don't have the ability anymore. This one guy actually wished his professor, because they were talking about relationships, I think, and communication styles. One of the things he wanted this professor to teach them was how to ask a girl out on a date and how to have a conversation with them while looking at them. And that wasn't an uncommon story. There are lots of people who just, they didn't have the ability to sit and look. I'm looking at Terry right now, the best looking guy in the church. I just told him that this morning too. I'm gazing upon you again, Terry. Is this creepy? All right. I feel better. They don't have the ability to sit with somebody and look at them and just talk and listen, because it's awkward. And then they got to get their phone out and they got to, you know, and you just got to kind of, oh, silence. We're terrified of silence. Terrified of it. We need to learn to listen. And when you do, if you can learn to listen, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to listen. And I guarantee you, people will just be like, "Ooh, I like that guy." He listens. They might not even know why. Another thing that we do is we bear the burdens of others. And I can't say enough about That's it. I can't say enough about that one. You guys are amazing. Another part of that is, I think, you know, bearing with one another, helping each other, just overwhelming. But another part of that is also forgiving one another. Because, you know, there's times where we just say dumb stuff. Or we do dumb stuff. And part of bearing with one another is forgiving one another. Yeah. We just need to keep doing that. You're going to have to do a lot with me. I'm going to say a lot of dumb stuff because I'm up here for a few more weeks. If you don't like it, get over it. Just kidding. Just kidding, Karen. She almost left the church because I said that a while back. So she did. That's what she told me. I was like this close to like throwing tomatoes at you and walking out the door. She didn't. See, there we go. There's one right there. Now she's got to forgive me again. Bearing one another's burdens, and I'll wrap up with this one because we're done. You're done. I'm done. Declaring God's word to one another. That's another thing that, it's one of the reasons why we try to do our small groups and stuff. They're not Bible studies necessarily, but they definitely need to be a place where we are taking the word of God and what we're hearing, and we're speaking that into each other, and we're working out with one another how that plays out in our lives, and how do we make this stuff happen? How do we bear one another's burdens? How do we listen long? How do we hold our tongues? How do we, you know, not live life full of selfish ambition? How do we walk in humility? All of those things. We need to be together and speaking those things to one another. I need you guys to speak into my life. We need each other. And that's part of, also part of being willing to move past selfish ambition. Because if you can get to a place where you can listen from other people and you can take from other people their experiences and what they've learned, your life's just going to be so much better. You know, there's going to be tons of lessons in life that we have to learn the hard way. There's going to be tons of hard stuff, but that doesn't mean that in the midst of that we can't learn from other people, and that we can't continue to live strong in Christ in the middle of whatever comes our way. So, there you go. Now what? It's been really awkward lately. I don't know why. Send us out. Amen. Why don't you stand up? We'll pray and then we'll go home. You guys can stay down there. Ah. Lord Jesus, I thank you for who you are. God, I thank you that there is nothing in this world that can compare with you. I thank you, God, that we can know you. God, you are beyond words. I thank you for your graciousness to us. I thank you for your faithfulness to us. I thank you that you continue to seek us and pursue us and draw us into your presence, even though we wander and we get distracted and we're wondering whether the lasagna is burning in the oven right now. Lord, I pray that this week that you would bless everyone in this room and all those who are part of our body who are out and about vacationing and resting and relaxing and whatever it is they're doing. God, that this week that we would know your presence in our lives in a new, deeper, richer way, and that you would use us to be able to bless the people around us, that we would be able to speak life into those around us. God, you are so good. Your love endures forever, and it's in that we hope. It's in that we have our trust. You are our rock. You are our salvation. You are our King. You are our Lord. You are magnificent in all of your ways. And I pray this would be a week of celebration and worship of who you are in our midst of our daily crazy lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have a great week. And we'll be back next week.